ॐ अज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः नमः ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमाते भक्ति वेदान्तस्वामिनीति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पश्चात्यदेशधारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bo. Now we have the sacred duty of reciting and listening to the Srimad Bhagavatam 7th canto, beginning with part 1. This section is called The Science of God. In chapter 1, the Supreme Lord is equal to everyone. In this chapter, in response to a question by Maharaj Pariksit, Shukadeva Goswami gives his conclusions concerning how the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although the Supersoul, friend and protector of everyone, killed the daityas, the demons, for the sake of Indra, the King of Heaven. In his statements, he totally refutes the arguments of people in general who accuse the Supreme Lord of partiality. Shukadeva Goswami proves that because the body of the conditioned soul is infected by the three qualities of nature, dualities arise such as enmity and friendship, attachment and detachment. For the Supreme Personality of Godhead, however, there are no such dualities. Even eternal time cannot control the activities of the Lord. Eternal time is created by the Lord, and it acts under his control. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, therefore, is always transcendental to the influence of the modes of nature. Maya. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, therefore, is always transcendental to the influence of the modes of nature, Maya, the Lord's external energy, which acts in creation and annihilation. Thus, all the demons killed by the Supreme Lord attain salvation immediately. The second question raised by Pariksit Maharaj concerns how Shishupal, although inimical toward Krishna from his very childhood and always blaspheming Krishna, attained salvation and oneness when Krishna killed him. Shukadeva Goswami explains that because of their offenses at the feet of devotees, two attendants of the Lord in Vaikuntha named Jai and Vijay became Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha in Satya Yuga, Ravana and Kumbhakarna in the next Yuga, Treta Yuga, and Shishupal and Dantavakra at the end of Dwapara Yuga. Because of their fruitive acts, Jai and Vijay agreed to become the Lord's enemies, and when killed in that mentality, they attain salvation and oneness. Thus, even if one thinks of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in envy, he attains salvation. What then is to be said of devotees who always engage in the Lord's service with faith and love? Text 1. Shri Raja Uvacha Samapriya Surid Brahman Bhutanam Bhagavan Swayam Indrasyarte katam daityan avadhid vishamo yata. King Pariksit inquired, "My dear Brahmana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu, being everyone's well-wisher, is equal and extremely dear to everyone. How then did he become partial like a common man for the sake of Indra and thus kill Indra's enemies? How can a person equal to everyone be partial to some and inimical to others?" Purport. In Bhagavad Gita 9.29, the Lord says, Samoham sarvabhuteshu name dvesho stina priyaha. I'm equal to everyone. No one is dear to me, nor is anyone my enemy. In the previous canto, however, it has been observed that the Lord sided with Indra by killing the demons on his account. Hataputra diti shakraparshni grahanina vishnuna. Therefore, the Lord was clearly partial to Indra, although he is the super soul in everyone's heart. The soul is extremely dear to everyone, and similarly the Supersoul is also dear to everyone. Thus, there cannot be any faulty action on the part of the Supersoul. The Lord is always kind to all living entities, irrespective of form and situation, yet he took the side of Indra just like an ordinary friend. This was the subject of Parikshit Maharaj's inquiry. As a devotee of Lord Krishna, he knew very well that Krishna cannot be partial to anyone. But when he saw that Krishna acted as the enemy of the demons, he was somewhat doubtful. Therefore, he posed this question to Shukadeva Goswami for a clear answer. A devotee cannot accept that Lord Vishnu has material qualifications. Maharaj Parikshit knew perfectly well that Lord Vishnu, being transcendental, has nothing to do with material qualities. But to confirm his conviction, he wanted to hear from the authority, Shukadeva Goswami. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Samasya Katam Vaishamyam. Since the Lord is equally disposed toward everyone, how can he be partial? Prihyasya Katam Asureshu Prityabhavaha. The Lord, being the Supersoul, is extremely dear to everyone. Why then should the Lord display unsympathetic behavior toward the Asuras? How is this impartial? Suridascha Katam Teshwa Sau Hardham. Since the Lord says that he is Suridam Sarvabhutanam, the well-wisher of all living entities, how could he act with partiality by killing demons? These questions arose in the heart of Parikshit Maharaj, and therefore he inquired from Shukadeva Goswami. Text 2. Nahyasyarta sura gunai sakshani shreya satmanaha naiva surebhyo vidvesho nodvigash chakunasyahi. Lord Vishnu himself, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the reservoir of all pleasure. Therefore, what benefit would he derive from siding with the demigods? What interest would he fulfill in this way? Since the Lord is transcendental, why should he fear the Asuras, and how could he be envious of them? Purport. We should always remember the distinction between spiritual and material. That which is material is infected by material qualities, but these qualities cannot touch that which is spiritual or transcendental. Krishna is absolute, whether he is in the material world or spiritual world. When we see partiality in Krishna, this vision is due to his external energy. Otherwise, how could his enemies attain salvation after being killed by him? Everyone who deals with the Supreme Personality of Godhead gradually acquires the qualities of the Lord. The more one advances in spiritual consciousness, the less he is affected by the duality of material qualities. The Supreme Lord, therefore, must certainly be freed from these qualities. His enmity and friendship are external features presented by the material energy. He is always transcendental. He is absolute, whether he kills or bestows his favor. Envy and friendship arise in one who is imperfect. We fear our enemies because in the material world we are always in need of help. The Lord, however, does not need anyone's help, for he is Atmarama. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 9:26, Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhaktya prayachyati tadham bhakti paritam ashnami pariyatatmanaha. If a devotee offers me with devotion a little leaf, a flower, a fruit, or water, I shall accept it. Why does the Lord say this? Is he dependent on the offer of the devotee? He is actually not dependent, but he likes to be dependent upon his devotee. This is his mercy. Similarly, he does not fear the Asuras. Thus, there is no question of partiality in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Text 3. Iti na samaha bhaga narayana gunan prati sankshaya samahan jatas tadbhavam chetum arhati. O greatly fortunate and learned Brahmana, whether Narayana is partial or impartial has become a subject of great doubt. Kindly dispel my doubt with positive evidence that Narayana is always neutral and equal to everyone. Purport. Since Lord Narayana is absolute, his transcendental qualities are described as one. Thus, his punishments and his offerings of favor are both of the same value. Essentially, his inimical actions are not displays of enmity toward his so-called enemies. But in the material field, one thinks that Krishna is favorable to devotees and unfavorable to non-devotees. When Krishna finally instructs in Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharman Bodhityaja Mamekam Sharanam Vraja, this means not only for Arjuna, but for every living entity within the universe. Text 4 and 5. Shri Rishiruvacha Sarupriṣṭha Maharaja Harish Charitam Adbhutam Yad Bhagavata Mahatmyam Bhagavad Bhaktivardhanam Giyate Paramam Punyam Rishibhir Naradadibhihi Natva Krishnaya Munaye Katayishye Hare Katam. The great sage Shukadeva Goswami said, "My dear king, you have put before me an excellent question. Discourses concerning the activities of the Lord, in which the glories of his devotees are also found, are extremely pleasing to devotees. Such wonderful topics always counteract the miseries of the materialistic way of life. Therefore, great sages like Narada always speak upon Srimad Bhagavatam because it gives one the facility to hear and chant about the wonderful activities of the Lord. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto Srila Vyasadeva and then begin describing topics concerning the activities of Lord Hari." Purport. In this verse, Shukadeva Goswami offers his respectful obeisances, Krishnaya Munaye, which means to Krishna Dvaipayana Vyas. One must first offer one's respectful obeisances to one's spiritual master. Shukadeva Goswami's spiritual master is his father, Vyasadeva, and therefore he first offers his respectful obeisances to Krishna Dvaipayana Vyas, and then begins describing topics of Lord Hari. Whenever there is an opportunity to hear about the transcendental activities of the Lord, we must take it. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommends Kirtaniya Sada Harihi. One should always engage in Krishna Katha. By chanting and talking about Krishna and hearing about him, that is the only occupation of a Krishna-conscious person. Text 6. Nirguno pi hyajo vyakto bhagavan prakrite padaha sumaya gunam avishya bhajya bhadaka tam gataha bhajya bhadaka tam gataha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu is always transcendental to the material qualities, and therefore he is called nirguna, or without qualities. Because he is unborn, he does not have a material body to be subjected to attachment and hatred. Although the Lord is always above material existence, through his spiritual potency, he appeared and acted like an ordinary human being, accepting duties and obligations, apparently like a conditioned soul. Purport. So-called attachment, detachment, and obligations pertain to the material nature, which is an emanation from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But whenever the Lord descends and acts in this material world, he does so in his spiritual position. Although his activities materially appear different, spiritually they are absolute and non-different. Thus, it is an imposition upon the Supreme Lord to say that he is envious of anyone or friendly to anyone. In Bhagavad Gita 9.11, the Lord clearly says, Avajananti mam buddha manushim tanumashitam. Fools deride me when I descend in a human form. Krishna appears on this earth or within this universe without any change in his spiritual body or spiritual qualities. Indeed, he is never influenced by the material qualities. He is always free from such qualities, but he appears to act under material nature, material influence. This understanding is aropata, or an imposition. Therefore, Krishna says, Janma karma janme divyam. Whatever he does, being always transcendental, has nothing to do with material qualities. Evam yo veti tatvataha. Only devotees can understand the truth of how he acts. The fact is that Krishna is never partial to anyone. He is always equal to everyone, but because of imperfect vision influenced by material qualities, one imposes material qualities upon Krishna, and when one And when one does so, he becomes a mudha, a fool. When one can properly understand the truth, one becomes devoted and nirguna, free from material qualities. Simply by understanding the activities of Krishna, one can become transcendental, and as soon as one is transcendental, he is fit to be transferred to the transcendental world. Tyaktva deham punar janma naiti mam eti sorjuna. One who understands the activities of the Lord in truth is transferred to the spiritual world after he gives up his material body. Satvam rajastama iti prakritir natmano gunaha natesham yugapad rajan hrasa ulasa evaha. My dear King Parikshit, the material qualities sattva-gun, rajogun, and tamogun all belong to the material world and do not even touch the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These three gunas cannot act by increasing or decreasing simultaneously. Purport, the original position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is one of equality. There is no question of his being influenced by sattva-gun, rajogun, or tamogun. For these material qualities cannot touch the Supreme Lord. The Lord is therefore called the Supreme Ishvara, Ishvara Paramakrishna. He is the Supreme Controller. He controls the material qualities. Daivihyeshu gunamayi mama maya. Maya jakshena prakriti suyate. Material nature, prakriti, works under his order. How then can he be under the qualities of prakriti? Krishna is never influenced by the material qualities. Therefore, there is no question of partiality in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Text 8. Jaya kale tu sattvasya devarshin rajaso suran tamaso yaksha rakshamsi tat kalanu guno bhajat. When the quality of goodness is prominent, the sages and demigods flourish with the help of that quality, with which they are infused and surcharged by the Supreme Lord. Similarly, when the mode of passion is prominent, the demons flourish, and when ignorance is prominent, the yakshas and rakshasas flourish. The Supreme Personality of God is present in everyone's heart, fostering the reactions of sattva-gun, rajogun, and tamogun. Purport, the Supreme Personality of God is not partial to anyone. The conditioned soul is under the influence of the various modes of material nature, and behind material nature is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But one's victory and loss under the influence of sattva-gun, rajogun, and tamogun are reactions of these modes, not of the Supreme Lord's partiality. Srila Jiva Goswami in the Bhagavat Sandarbha has clearly said, sadvadayo nasantyeshtishe yatracha prakita gunaha sashuddha sarvashuddhebhya Puman adya prasidatu kladini sandani samvit twayeka sarvasanstitau hlada tapa kari mishra twai no guna varjite. According to the statement of the Bhagavat Sandarbha, the Supreme Lord, being always transcendental to the material qualities, is never affected by the influence of these qualities. This same characteristic is also present in the living being, but because he is conditioned by material nature, even the pleasure potency of the Lord is manifested in the conditioned soul as troublesome. In the material world, the pleasure enjoyed by the conditioned soul is followed by many painful conditions. For instance, we have seen that in the two great wars which were conducted by the Rajogun and Tamogun, both parties were actually ruined. The German people declared war against the English to ruin them, but the result was that both parties were ruined. Although the Allies were apparently victorious, at least on paper, actually neither of them were victorious. Therefore, it should be concluded that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not partial to anyone. Everyone works under the influence of various modes of material nature, and when the various modes are prominent, the demigods or demons appear victorious under the influence of these modes. Everyone enjoys the fruits of his qualitative activities. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 14:11-13. Sarvadware shudehe smin prakasha upajayate gyanam yada tata vidyad vivridham satvamityuta loba pravatirarambha karmanam ashramasraha rajasitani jayante vribhade bharatarshapa aprakasho pravritischa pramado moha evacha tamasyetani yetani jayante vribhade kurunandana. The manifestation of the modes of goodness can be experienced when all the gates of the body are illumined by knowledge. O chief of the Bharatas, when there is an increase in the mode of passion, the symptoms of great attachment, uncontrollable desire, hankering, and intense endeavor develop. O son of Kuru, when there is an increase in the mode of ignorance, madness, illusion, inertia, and darkness are manifested. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is present in everyone's heart, simply gives the results of the increase in the various qualities. But he is impartial. He supervises victory and loss, but he does not take part in them. The various modes of material nature do not work all at once. The interactions of these modes are exactly like seasonal changes. Sometimes there is an increment of rajogun, sometimes of tamogun, and sometimes sattvagun. Generally, the demigods are surcharged with sattvagun, and therefore, when the demons and the demigods fight, the demigods are victorious because of the prominence of their sattvagun qualities. However, this is not the partiality of the Supreme Lord. Text 9. Jyotiradir ivabhati sangatana vivichyate vidantyatmanam atmastam matitva kavayon tataha. Purport. Translation. The all-pervading personality of Godhead exists within the heart of every living being, and an expert thinker can perceive how he is present there to a large or small extent, just as one can understand the supply of fire and wood, the water in a water pot, or the sky within a pot. One can understand whether a living entity is a demon or a demigod by understanding that living entity's devotional performances. A thoughtful man can understand how much a person is favored by the Supreme Lord by seeing his actions. Purport. In the Bhagavad Gita 10:41, the Lord says, Yad yad vibhuti mat sattvam srimad urjitam eva va tat tad eva vagaccha tvang mama te tom shasambhavam. Know that all beautiful, glorious, and mighty creations spring from but a spark of my splendor. We have the practical experience of seeing that one person is able to do very wonderful things, whereas another cannot do those same things and cannot even do things that require only a little common sense. Therefore, how much a devotee has been favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be tested by the activities the devotee has performed. In Bhagavad Gita 10:10, the Lord also says, Tesham satata yukdanam vajatam priti purvakam dadami bhuti yogam tang yenamam upayanti te. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. This is very practical. A teacher instructs the student if the student is capable of taking more or less instructions. Otherwise, in spite of being instructed by the teacher, the student cannot make strides in his understanding. This has nothing to do with partiality. When Krishna says, Tesham satati yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam tadami buddhi yogam tam, this indicates that Krishna is prepared to give bhakti yoga to everyone, but one must be capable of receiving it. That is the secret. Thus, when a person exhibits wonderful devotional activities, a thoughtful man understands that Krishna has been more favorable to this devotee. This is not difficult to understand, but envious persons do not accept that Krishna has bestowed his favor upon a particular devotee in accordance with his advanced position. Such foolish persons become envious and try to minimize an advanced devotee's activities. That is not Vaishnavism. A Vaishnav should appreciate the service rendered to the Lord by other Vaishnavs. Therefore, a Vaishnav is described in Srimad Bhagavatam as nirmatsara. Vaishnavs are never envious of other Vaishnavs or anyone else, and therefore they are called nirmatsaranam satam. As Bhagavad Gita informs us, one can understand how one is saturated with sattva-gun, rajogun, or tamogun. In the examples given herewith, fire represents the mode of goodness. One can understand the constitution of a container for wood, petrol, or other inflammable substances by the quality of the fire. Similarly, water represents rajogun, the mode of passion. A small skin and the vast Atlantic Ocean both contain water, and by seeing the quality of water in a container, one can understand the size of the container. The sky represents the mode of ignorance. The sky is present in a small earthen pot and also in outer space. Thus, by proper judgment, one can see who is a devata or demigod and who is an asura, yaksha, or rakshasa. According to the quantities of sattva-gun, rajogun, and tamogun, one cannot judge whether a person is a devata, an asura, or a rakshasa by seeing him, but a sane man can understand this by the activities such a person performs. A general description is given in the Padma Purana. Vishnu Bhakti Smrito Daiva Asuras Tad Viparya Yaha. A devotee of Lord Vishnu is a demigod, whereas an asura or yaksha is just the opposite. An asura is not a devotee of Lord Vishnu. Instead, for his sense gratification, he is a devotee of the demigods, bhutas, pretas, and so on. Thus one can judge who is a devata, who is a rakshasa, and who is an asura by how they conduct their activities. The word Atmanam in this verse means Paramatmanam. The Paramatma, or Supersoul, is situated in the core of everyone's heart, Antataha. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 18:61. Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Vridesher Arjuna Tishtati. The Ishvara, the Supreme Personality of Godhead being situated in everyone's heart, gives directions to everyone in terms of one's capabilities in taking the instructions. The instructions of Bhagavad Gita are open to everyone, but some people understand them properly, whereas others understand them so improperly that they cannot even believe in the existence of Krishna, although reading Krishna's book. Although the Gita says Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, indicating that Krishna spoke, they cannot understand Krishna. This is due to their misfortune or incapability, which is caused by Rajogun and Tamogun, the modes of passion and ignorance. It is because of these modes that they cannot even understand Krishna, whereas an advanced devotee like Arjuna understands him and glorifies him, saying, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram Paramam Bhavan. You are the Supreme Brahman, the Supreme Abode and Purifier. Krishna is open to everyone, but one needs the capability to understand him. By external features, one cannot understand who is favored by Krishna and who is not. According to one's attitude, Krishna becomes one's direct advisor or Krishna becomes unknown. This is not Krishna's partiality. It is his response to one's ability to understand him. According to one's receptiveness, whether one be a devata, asura, yaksha, or rakshasa, Krishna's quality is predominantly exhibited. This proportionate exhibition of Krishna's power is misunderstood by less intelligent men to be Krishna's partiality, but actually it is no such thing. Krishna is equal to everyone, and according to one's ability to receive the favor of Krishna, one advances in Krishna consciousness. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti gives a practical example in this connection. In the sky, there are many luminaries. At night, even in the darkness, the moon is extremely brilliant and can be directly perceived. The sun is also extremely brilliant. When covered by clouds, however, these luminaries are not distinctly visible. Similarly, the more one advances in sattva-gun, the more his brilliance is exhibited by devotional service. But the more one is covered by rajogun and tamogun, the less visible his brilliance, for he is covered by these qualities. The visibility of one's qualities does not depend on the partiality of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is due to various coverings in different proportions. Thus one can understand how far he has advanced in terms of sattva-gun and how much he is covered by rajogun and tamogun. Text 10. Yada sishikshu pura atmana paro rajasrajit yesha pratak swamayaya. sarvam vichitrasu viramsurishvaraha shayishyamanas tama ira yayat yasau. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead creates different types of bodies, offering a particular body to each living entity according to his character and fruitive actions, the Lord revives all the qualities of material nature, sattvagun, rajagun, and tamagun. Then, as the Supersoul, he enters each body and influences the qualities of creation, maintenance, and annihilation, using sattvagun for maintenance, rajagun for creation, and tamagun for annihilation. Purport. Although material nature is conducted by the three qualities, sattvagun, rajagun, and tamagun, nature is not independent. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 9:10, mayadyakshena prakritihi suyate sacharacharam hetunanina kaunteya jagadvi parivartate. This material nature is working under my direction, O Son of Kunti, and is producing all moving and unmoving beings. By its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. The different changes in the material world take place as actions and reactions of the three gunas. But above the three gunas is their director, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the various types of bodies given to the living entities by material nature, yantra rudra nimaya, either sattvagun, rajagun, or tamagun, is prominent. The body is produced by material nature according to the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, it is said here, yada shishukshu pura atmana para, indicating that the body is certainly created by the Lord. Karma na daivanetrena. According to the karma of the living entity, a body is prepared under the Supreme Lord's supervision. Whether the body is of sattvagun, rajagun, or tamagun, everything is done by the direction of the Supreme Lord through the agency of the external energy, pratyaksamayaya. In this way, in different types of bodies, the Lord, Ishvara, gives directions as Paramatma, and again, to destroy the body, he employs the tamagun. This is the way the living entities receive different types of bodies. Text 11. Kalam charantam srijatisha ashrayam pradhana pumbhyam naradeva satyakrit. O King, O Great King, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the controller of the material and spiritual energies, who is certainly the creator of the entire cosmos, creates the time factor to allow the material energy and the living entity to act within the limits of time. Thus, the Supreme Personality is never under the time factor nor under the material energy. Purport. One should not think that the Lord is dependent on the time factor. He actually creates the situation by which material nature acts and by which the conditioned soul is placed under material nature. Both the conditioned soul and the material nature act within the time factor, but the Lord is not subject to the actions and reactions of time, for time has been created by him. To be more clear, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that creation, maintenance, and annihilation are all under the supreme will of the Lord. In Bhagavad Gita 4:7, the Lord says, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharat, and a predominant rise of your religion at that time, I descend myself. Since Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the controller of everything, when he appears, he is not within the limitations of material time. Janma karma te me divyam. In this verse, the words kalam charantam sridatish ashrayam indicate that although the Lord acts within time, whether sattvagun, rajagun, or tamagun, whether they're sattva, rajas, tamas, is prominent, one should not think that the Lord is under time's control. Time is within his control, for he creates time to act in a certain way. He is not working under the control of time. The creation of the material world is one of the Lord's pastimes. Everything is fully under his control. Since creation takes place when rajagun is prominent, the Lord creates the necessary time to give facilities for rajagun. Similarly, he also creates the necessary times for maintenance and annihilation. Thus, this verse establishes that the Lord is not under the limitations of time. As stated in the Brahma Sanhita, Ishvara Parama Krishna, Krishna is the supreme controller. Sakchidananda Vigraha. He possesses a blissful spiritual body, a nadi. He is not subordinate to anything. The Lord confirms in Bhagavad Gita 7:7, Mattak paratanam nanyat kinchidasti dananjaya. O conqueror of wealth Arjuna, there is no truth superior to me. Nothing can be above Krishna, for he is the controller and creator of everything. The Mayavadi philosophers say that the material world is mithya, false, and that one should therefore not bother about this mithya creation. Brahma satyam jagan mithya. But this is not correct. Here it is said, satyakrit, whatever is created by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, satyam param, cannot be called mithya. The cause of the creation is satya, true. So how can the effect of the cause be mithya? The very word satyakrit is used to establish that everything created by the Lord is factual, never false. The creation may be temporary, but it is not false. Text 12. Yesha rajan apikala ishata satvam suran niksham ivaida yatyataha tat pratyanikan asuran sura priyo rajastamaskan praminot yashu shravaha. O king, this time factor enhances the sattvagun. Thus, although the Supreme Lord is the controller, he favors the demigods who are mostly situated in sattvagun. Then the demons who are influenced by tamagun are annihilated. The Supreme Lord induces the time factor to act in different ways, but he is never partial. Rather, his activities are glorious, therefore he is called Arushrava. Purport. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 9:29, Samoham sarvabhuteshu nami dveshosti na priyaha. I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all. The Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be partial. He is always equal to everyone. Therefore, when the demigods are favored and the demons killed, this is not his partiality, but the influence of the time factor. A good example in this regard is that an electrician connects both a heater and a cooler to the same electrical energy. The cause of the heating and cooling is the electrician's manipulation of the electrical energy according to his desire. But factually, the electrician has nothing to do with causing heat or cold, nor with the enjoyment or suffering that results. There have been many historical incidents in which the Lord killed a demon, but the demon attained a higher position by the mercy of the Lord. Putana is an example. Putana's purpose was to kill Krishna. Aho bakiyam stanakala kutam. She approached the house of Nanda Maharaj with the purpose of killing Krishna by smearing poison on her breast. Yet when she was killed, she attained the highest position, achieving the status of Krishna's mother. Krishna is so kind and impartial that because he sucked Putana's breast, he immediately accepted her as his mother. This superfluous activity of killing Putana did not diminish the Lord's impartiality. He is Suridam Sarvabhutanam, the friend of everyone. Therefore, partiality cannot apply to the character of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who always maintains his position as the Supreme Controller. The Lord killed Putana as an enemy, but because of his being the Supreme Controller, she attained an exalted position as his mother. Srila Madhva Muni therefore remarks, Kale Kala Vishaye Pishita Di Dadi Karunantvat Suranikam Ivastitam Sattvam. Ordinarily, a murderer is hanged, and in the Manu Samhita it is said that a king bestows mercy upon a murderer by killing him, thus saving him from various kinds of suffering. Because of his sinful activities, such a murderer is killed by the mercy of the king. Krishna, the Supreme Judge, deals with matters in a similar way because he is the Supreme Controller. The conclusion, therefore, is that the Lord is always impartial and always very kind to all living entities. Text 13. Atraivo dhavritah purvam itihasa surashina Pritya Maha Kratau Rajan Pritchate Jata Shatrave. Formerly, O King, when Maharaj Yudhishthira was performing the Rajasuya sacrifice, the great sage Narada, responding to his inquiry, recited historical facts, showing how the Supreme Personality of Godhead is also always impartial, even when killing demons. In this regard, he gave a vivid example. Purport, this relates to how the Lord exhibited his impartiality even when killing Shishupal in the arena of the Rajasuya Yajna performed by Maharaj Yudhishthira. Text 14.15. O King, at the Rajasuya sacrifice, Maharaj Yudhishthira, the son of Maharaj Pandu, personally saw Shishupal merge into the body of the Supreme Lord Krishna. Therefore, struck with wonder, he inquired about the reason for this from the great sage Narada, who was seated there. While he inquired, all the sages present also heard him ask his question. Maharaj Yudhishthira inquired, it is very wonderful that the demon, Shishupal, merged into the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even though extremely envious. This Sayuja Mukti is impossible to attain, even for great transcendentalists. How then did the enemy of the Lord attain it? Purport, there are two classes of transcendentalists, the Jnanis and the Bhaktas. The Bhaktas do not aspire to merge into the existence of the Lord, but the Jnanis do. Shishupal, however, was neither a Jnani nor a Bhakta, yet simply by envy of the Lord he attained an exalted position of merging into the Lord's body. Certainly this was astonishing, and therefore Maharaj Yudhishthira inquired about the cause for the Lord's mysterious mercy to Shishupal. 17. O great sage, we are all eager to know the cause for this mercy of the Lord. I have heard that formerly a king named Vena blasphemed the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that all the Brahmanas consequently obliged him to go to hell. Shishupal should also have been sent to hell. How then did he merge into the Lord's existence? 18. From the very beginning of his childhood, when he could not even speak properly, Shishupal, the most sinful son of Dama Ghosh, began blaspheming the Lord, and he continued to be envious of Sri Krishna until death. Similarly, his brother Dantavakra continued the same habits. Although these two men, Shishupal and Dantavakra, repeatedly blasphemed the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, Krishna, the Supreme Brahman, they were quite healthy. Indeed, their tongues were not attacked by white leprosy, nor did they enter the darkest region of hellish life. We are certainly most surprised by this. Purport, Krishna is declared by Arjuna in Bhagavad, is described by Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita 10.12 as follows. Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitram Paramam Bhavan. You are the Supreme Brahman, the supreme abode and purifier. Herein, this is confirmed. Vishnu Yad Brahma Param Avyayam. The Supreme Vishnu is Krishna. Krishna is the cause of Vishnu, not vice versa. Similarly, Brahman is not the cause of Krishna. Krishna is the cause of Brahman. Therefore, Krishna is the Parabrahman. Yad Brahma Paraman Paramam, yet Brahma Param Avyayam. Text 20. How was it possible for Shishupal and Dantavakra, in the presence of many exalted persons, to enter very easily into the body of Krishna, whose nature is difficult to attain? Purport, Shishupal and Dantavakra were formerly Jai and Vijay, the doorkeepers of Vaikuntha. Merging into the body of Krishna was not their final destination. For some time they remained merged, and later they received the liberations of Sarupya and Salokya, living on the same planet as the Lord in the same bodily form. The Shastras give evidence that if one blasphemes the Supreme Lord, his punishment is to remain in hellish life for many millions of years more than one suffers by killing many Brahmins. Shishupal, however, instead of entering hellish life, immediately and very easily received Sayuja Mukti. That such a privilege had been offered to Shishupal was not merely a story. Everyone saw it happen. There was no scarcity of evidence. How did it happen? Maharaj Yudhishthira was very much surprised. 21. This matter is undoubtedly very wonderful. Indeed, my intelligence has become disturbed, just as the flame of a candle is disturbed by a blowing wind. O Narada Muni, you know everything. Kindly let me know the cause of this wonderful event. Purport. The Shastras enjoin, Tadvignanartam sagurum eva bigachet. When one is perplexed by the difficult problems of life, to solve them, one must approach a guru like Narada or his representative in the disciplic succession. Maharaj Yudhishthira therefore requested Narada to explain the cause for such a wonderful event. Shri Bhadarayanir Uvacha Rajas Tad Vacha Akarnya Narado Bhagavan Rishihi Tushtapraha Tam Abhasya Shrinvatyas Tad Sadakataha. Shri Shukadeva Goswami said, after hearing the request of Maharaj Yudhishthira, Narada Muni, the most powerful spiritual master who knew everything, was very pleased. Thus he replied in the presence of everyone taking part in the yajna. Shri Narada Uvacha Nindana Stavasatkara Nyakaratam Kalevaram Pradhana Parayorajan Avivekena Kalpitam. The great sage Shri Naradaji said, O king, blasphemy and praise, chastisement and respect are experienced because of ignorance. The body of the conditioned soul is planned by the Lord for suffering in the material world through the agency of the external energy. The body of the conditioned soul is planned by the Lord for suffering in the material world through the agency of the external energy. Purport. In the Bhagavad Gita, 1861, it is said, Ishvara sarva bhutanam rideshe drna chistati brahmayan sarva bhutani yantra rudhani mayaya. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of material energy. A material body is manufactured by the external energy according to the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The conditioned soul, being seated on this machine, wanders throughout the universe, and because of his bodily conception of life, he only suffers. Actually, the suffering of being blasphemed, and the enjoyment of being praised, the acceptance of a good welcome, or of chastisement by harsh words, are felt in the material conception of life. But since the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not material, but Sakchidananda Vigraha, he is unaffected by insults or greetings, blasphemy or prayers. Being always unaffected and complete, he does not feel extra pleasure when offered nice prayers by the devotee, although the devotee benefits by offering prayers to the Lord. Indeed, the Lord is very kind to his so-called enemy, because one who always thinks of the personality of Godhead as an enemy also benefits, although he thinks of the Lord adversely. If a conditioned soul, thinking of the Lord as an enemy or a friend, somehow or other becomes attached to the Lord, he receives great benefit. 24. My dear king, the conditioned soul, being in the bodily conception of life, considers his body to be his self and considers everything in relationship with the body to be his. Because he has this wrong conception of life, he is subjected to dualities like praise and chastisement. Purport, only when a conditioned soul accepts the body as himself does he feel the effects of chastisement or praise. Then he determines one person to be his enemy and another his friend, and wants to chastise the enemy and welcome the friend. This creation of friends and enemies is a result of one's bodily conception of life. 25. Because of the bodily conception of life, the conditioned soul thinks that when the body is annihilated, the living being is annihilated. Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the Supreme Controller, the Supersoul of all living entities. Because he has no material body, he has no false conception of I and mine. It is therefore incorrect to think that he feels pleasure or pain when blasphemed or offered prayers. This is impossible for him. Thus he has no enemy and no friend. When he chastises the demons, it is for their good, and when he accepts the prayers of the devotees, it is for their good. He is affected neither by prayers nor by blasphemy. Purport, because of being covered by material bodies, the conditioned souls, including even greatly learned scholars and false educated professors, all think that as soon as the body is finished, everything is finished. This is due to their bodily conception of life. Krishna has no bodily conception, Nor is his body different from himself. Therefore, since Krishna has no material conception of life, how can he be affected by material prayers and accusations? Krishna's body is described herewith as kaivalya, non-different from himself. Since everyone has a material bodily conception of life, if Krishna had such a conception, what would be the difference between Krishna and the conditioned soul? Krishna's instructions in Bhagavad Gita are accepted as final because he does not possess a material body. As soon as one has a material body, he has four deficiencies. But since Krishna does not possess a material body, he has no deficiencies. He is always spiritually conscious and blissful. Ishvara Parama Krishna Sakchidananda Vigraha. His form is eternal, blissful knowledge. Sakchidananda Vigraha, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa, and Kaivalya are the same. Krishna can expand himself as Paramatma in the core of everyone's heart. In Bhagavad Gita 13.3, this is confirmed. Kshetrajnam chapi mam vidhi sarva kshetreshu bharata. The Lord is the Paramatma, the Atma or super self of all individual souls. Therefore, it must naturally be concluded that he has no defective bodily conceptions. Although situated in everyone's body, he has no bodily conception of life. He is always free from such conceptions, and thus he cannot be affected by anything in relation to the material body of the jiva. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita 16.19, Tanaham dvishata kroran samsareshu naradaman shripam ajastram ashubhan asurasweva yonishu. Those who are envious and mischievous, who are the lowest among men, are cast by me into the ocean of material existence, into various demoniac species of life. Whenever the Lord punishes persons like demons, however, such punishment is meant for the good of the conditioned soul. The conditioned soul, being envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, may accuse him, saying, Krishna is bad, Krishna is a thief, and so on. But Krishna, being kind to all living entities, does not consider such accusations. Instead, he takes account of the conditioned soul's chanting of Krishna, Krishna so many times. He sometimes punishes such demons for one life by putting them in a lower species, but then, when they have stopped accusing him, they are liberated in the next life because of chanting Krishna's name constantly. Blaspheming the Supreme Lord or his devotee is not at all good for the conditioned soul, but Krishna, being very kind, punishes the conditioned soul in one life for such sinful activities and then takes him back home, back to Godhead. The vivid example for this is Vrishasura, who was formerly Chitraketu Maharaj, a great devotee. Because he derided Lord Shiva, the foremost of all devotees, he had to accept the body of a demon called Vritta, but then he was taken back to Godhead. Thus, when Krishna punishes a demon or conditioned soul, he stops that soul's habit of blaspheming him, and when the soul becomes completely pure, the Lord takes him back to Godhead. 26. Therefore, by enmity or by devotional service, by fear, by affection, or by lusty desire, by all of these or any one of them, if a conditioned soul somehow or other concentrates his mind upon the Lord, the result is the same. For the Lord, because of his blissful position, is never affected by enmity or friendship. Again, this text 26. Tasmat vairanupandena nirvarena bhayena va snehat kamena vayunjat katanchit nekshate pratak. Tasmat, therefore, vaira anbhanudena, by constant enmity, nirvairena, by devotion, payena, by fear, va, or snehat, from affection, kamena, by lusty desires, va, or yunjat, one should concentrate. Katanchit, somehow or other, not. Ikshate, sees, pratak, something else. Translation, therefore, by enmity or by devotional service, by fear, by affection, or by lusty desire, by all of these or any one of them, if a conditioned soul somehow or other concentrates his mind upon the Lord, The result is the same, for the Lord, because of his blissful position, is never affected by enmity or friendship. Purport: from this verse, one should not conclude that because Krishna is unaffected by favorable prayers or unfavorable blasphemy, one should therefore blaspheme the Supreme Lord. This is not the regulative principle. Bhakti yoga means anukul yena krishnanushilanam. One should serve Krishna very favorably. This is the real injunction. Here it is said that although an enemy thinks of Krishna unfavorably, the Lord is unaffected by such anti-devotional service. Thus he offers his benedictions even to Shishupal and similarly inimical conditioned souls. This does not mean, however, that one should be inimical toward the Lord. The stress is given to the favorable execution of devotional service, not purposeful blasphemy of the Lord. It is said, Nindam Bhagavata Shrinvams Tatparasya Janasya Va Tato Na Paite Yasopi Yatyada Sukritachutaha. One who hears blasphemy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his devotees should immediately take action or should leave. Otherwise, he will be put into hellish life perpetually. There are many such injunctions. Therefore, as a regulative principle, one should not be unfavorable toward the Lord, but always favorably inclined toward him. Shishupal's achievement of oneness with the Supreme Lord was different because Jai and Vijay, from the very beginning of their material existence, were ordained to treat the Supreme Lord as an enemy for three lives and then return home back to Godhead. Jai and Vijay inwardly knew that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but they purposefully became his enemies to be delivered from material life. From the very beginning of their lives, they thought of Lord Krishna as an enemy, and even though blaspheming Lord Krishna, they chanted the holy name of Krishna constantly along with their inimical thoughts. Thus, they were purified because of chanting the holy name of Krishna. It is to be understood that even a blasphemer can be freed from sinful activities by chanting the holy name of the Lord. Certainly, therefore, freedom is assured for a devotee who is always favorable to the service of the Lord. This will be clear from the following verse. By rapt attention fixed upon Krishna, one is purified, and thus one is delivered from material life. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has very nicely explained the word bhayena, which means by fear. When the gopis went to Krishna in the dead of night, they certainly feared chastisement by their relatives, their husbands, brothers, and fathers, but nonetheless, not caring for their relatives, they went to Krishna. There was certainly fear, but this fear could not check their devotional service to Krishna. One should not mistakenly think that Lord Krishna must be worshipped by an inimical attitude like that of Shishupal. The injunction is anukulyasya grahanam pratikulyasya varjanam. One should give up unfavorable activities and accept only favorable conditions in devotional service. Generally, if one blasphemes the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is punished. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 16:19, tanaham dushata kroran samsareshu naradaman tripan ajastra mashuban Asurasweva Yonishu. There are many such injunctions. One should not try to worship Krishna unfavorably. Otherwise, one must be punished, at least for one life, to be purified. As one should not try to be killed by embracing an enemy, a tiger or a snake, one should not blaspheme the Supreme Personality of Godhead and become his enemy in order to be put into hellish life. The purpose of this verse is to emphasize that even the enemy of the Lord can be delivered, not to speak of his friend. Srila Madhvacharya also says in many ways that one should not blaspheme Lord Vishnu through one's mind, words, or actions, for a blasphemer will go to hellish life along with his forefathers. Karmana manasa vacha yodvishad vishnum avyayam vajanti pitarastasya narake shashvati samaha. In Bhagavad Gita 16:19-20, the Lord says, Tanaham dushita kroran samsareshu naradaman shripam ajastram ashuban asurasweva yonishu asurim yonamapana mudha janmani janmani mam apraptyaiva kaunteya tato yantyadaman gatim. Those who are envious and mischievous, who are lowest among men, are cast by me into the ocean of material existence, into various demoniac species of life. Attaining repeated birth among the species of demoniac life, such persons can never approach me. Gradually, they sink down to the most abominable type of existence. One who blasphemes the Lord is put into a family of asuras, in which there is every chance of forgetting the service of the Lord. Lord Krishna further states in Bhagavad Gita, Avajananti mam buddha manushim tanumashitam parambhavamajananto mamabhuta maheshwaram. Muddhas, rascals, blaspheme the Supreme Lord because he appears exactly like a human being. They do not know the unlimited opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mugasha muga karmano muga jnana vichetasaha rakshasim asurim chaiva prakritim mohinim shitaha. Anything done by those who have taken the attitude of enemies will be baffled, mogashaha. If these enemies try to be liberated or to merge into the existence of Brahman, if they desire to be elevated to the higher planetary systems as karmis, or even if they desire to return home back to Godhead, they will certainly be baffled. As for Hiranyakashipu, although he was extremely inimical towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he always thought of his son, who is a great devotee. Therefore, by the grace of his son, Prahlad Maharaj, Hiranyakashipu was also delivered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hiranyakashipush chapi bhagavan nidayatamaha vakshur atyagat sud no praladasyanubhavataha. The conclusion is that one should not give up pure devotional service. For one's own benefit, one should not imitate Hiranyakashipu or Shishupal. This is not the way to achieve success. 27. Yata vairanu bhandena martyastan mayatam iyat natata bhakti yogena iti me nishchita matihi. Narada Muni continued, by devotional service, one cannot achieve such intense absorption in thought of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as one can through enmity toward him. That is my opinion. Purport, Srimad Narada Muni, the topmost pure devotee, praises Krishna's enemies like Shishupal because their minds are always completely absorbed in Krishna. Indeed, he thinks himself deficient in the inspiration of being feelingly absorbed in Krishna consciousness. This does not mean, however, that the enemies of Krishna are more elevated than Krishna's pure devotees. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi 5.205, Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami also thinks of himself in such a humble way. Jagai madai hoite mui se papishta. Puri shera kita hoite mui se lagishta. I am a worse sinner than Jagai and Madai, and I am even lower than the worms in the stool. A pure devotee always thinks himself more deficient than everyone else. If a devotee approaches Srimati Radharani to offer some service to Krishna, even Srimati Radharani thinks that the devotee is greater than she. Thus, Narada Muni says that according to his opinion, the enemies of Krishna are better situated because they are fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna in terms of killing him, just as a very lusty man always thinks of women and their association. The essential point in this connection is that one should be fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna 24 hours a day. There are many devotees in Rag Marg, which is exhibited in Vrindavan. Whether in Dasya Ras, Sakya Ras, Vatsalya Ras, or Madhurya Ras, all the devotees of Krishna are always overwhelmed by thoughts of Krishna. When Krishna is away from Vrindavan, tending the cows in the forest, the gopis in the Madhurya Ras are always absorbed in thought of how Krishna walks in the forest. The soles of his feet are so soft that the gopis would not dare to keep his lotus feet on their soft breasts. Indeed, they consider their breasts a very hard place for the lotus feet of Krishna, yet those lotus feet wander in the forest, which is full of thorny plants. The gopis are absorbed in such thoughts at home, although Krishna is away from them. Similarly, when Krishna plays with his young friends, Mother Yashoda is very much disturbed by thoughts of Krishna because of always playing and not taking his food properly. must be getting weak. These are examples of the exalted ecstasy felt in Krishna's service as manifested in Vrindavan. This service is indirectly praised by Narada Muni in this verse, especially for the conditioned soul. Narada Muni recommends that one somehow or other be absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, for that will save one from all the dangers of material existence. Full absorption in thought of Krishna is the highest platform of bhakti yoga. Text 28 and 29. A grass worm confined in a hole of a wall by a bee always thinks of the bee in fear and enmity, and later becomes a bee simply because of such remembrance. Similarly, if the conditioned souls somehow or other think of Krishna, who is Sakchidananda Vigraha, they will become free from their sins, whether thinking of him as their worshipable lord or an enemy. Because of constantly thinking of him, they will regain their spiritual bodies. Purport in Bhagavad Gita 4.10, the Lord says, Vita raga bhaya krodha manmaya mam upashita bhavo jnana tapasa huta madbhavam agata. Being freed from attachment, fear, and anger, being fully absorbed in me, and taking refuge in me, many, many persons in the past became purified by knowledge of me, and thus they all attained transcendental love for me. There are two ways of constantly thinking of Krishna, as a devotee and as an enemy. A devotee, of course, by his knowledge and tapasya, becomes free from fear and anger and becomes a pure devotee. Similarly, an enemy, although thinking of Krishna inimically, thinks of him constantly and also becomes purified. This is confirmed elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita 9.30, when the Lord says, Api chetsudaracharo patate mamananyabhak sadhureva samantavya samyagvyavasito hisaha. Even if one commits the most abominable actions, if he engages in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated. A devotee undoubtedly worships the Lord with rapt attention. Similarly, if an enemy, Sudarachara, always thinks of Krishna, he also becomes a purified devotee. The example given here concerns the grass worm that becomes bee-like because of constantly thinking of the bee that forces it to enter a hole. By always thinking of the bee in fear, the grass worm starts to become a bee. This is a practical example. Lord Krishna appears within this material world for two purposes. Paricharanaya sadunam vinashaya duskritam, to protect the devotees and annihilate the demons. The sadhus and devotees certainly think of the Lord always, but duskritis, the demons like Kamsa and Shishupal, also think of Krishna in terms of killing him. By thinking of Krishna, both the demons and devotees attain liberation from the clutches of material maya. This verse uses the word maya manuje. When Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appears in his original spiritual potency, sambhavam yatma maya ya, he is not forced to accept a form made by material nature. Therefore, the Lord is addressed as Ishvara, the controller of maya. He is not controlled by maya. When a demon continuously thinks of Krishna because of enmity toward him, he is certainly freed from the sinful reactions of his life. To think of Krishna in any way, in terms of his name, form, qualities, paraphernalia, or anything pertaining to him, is beneficial for everyone. Shrinvatam swakata Krishna punya shravana kirtana. Thinking of Krishna, hearing the holy name of Krishna, or hearing the pastimes of Krishna will make one pure, and then he will become a devotee. Our Krishna consciousness movement is therefore trying to introduce the system of somehow or other letting everyone hear the holy name of Krishna and take Krishna's prasad. Thus, one will gradually become a devotee and his life will be successful. 30. Kama dvesha bayat snehad yata bhakyeshvare manaha avesha tad agam hitva bahavas tad gatim gataha. Many, many persons have attained liberation simply by thinking of Krishna with great attention and giving up sinful activities. This great attention may be due to lusty desires, inimical feelings, fear, affection, or devotional service. I shall now explain how one receives Krishna's mercy simply by concentrating one's mind upon him. Purport, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 10:33-39, Bhaktim param bhagavati pratilabdhya kamam hridrogam ashwapahinotya charin adhiraha. If a bona fide listener hears of Krishna's pastimes with the gopis, which seem to be lusty affairs, the lusty desires in his heart, which constitute the heart disease of the conditioned soul, will be vanquished, and he will become a most exalted devotee of the Lord. If one who hears the gopis' lusty behavior with Krishna becomes free from lusty desires, certainly the gopis who approach Krishna became free from all such desires. Similarly, Shishupal and others who were very much envious of Krishna and who constantly thought of Krishna became free from envy. Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda were fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness because of affection. When the mind is somehow or other fully absorbed in Krishna, the material part is very soon vanquished, and the spiritual part, attraction to Krishna, becomes manifest. This indirectly confirms that if one thinks of Krishna enviously, simply because of thinking of Krishna, he becomes free from all sinful reactions and thus becomes a pure devotee. Examples of this are given in the following verse. Gopya kamad bayat kamso dvaishach chadyad yayonrapaha sambandad vrishnaya snehad yuyam bhaktya vayam vibho. My dear King Yudhishthira, the gopis by their lusty desires, Kamsa by his fear, Shishupal and other kings by envy, the Yadus by their familial relationship with Krishna, you Pandavas by your great affection for Krishna, and we, the general devotees, by our devotional service, have obtained the mercy of Krishna. Purport. Different persons achieve different types of mukti, sayuja, salokya, sarupya, samipya, and sharshti, according to their own intense desire, which is called bhava. Thus it is described here that the gopis, by their lusty desires, which were based upon their intense love for Krishna, became the most beloved devotees of the Lord. Although the gopis at Vrindavan expressed their lusty desires in relationship with the paramour, Parakya Ras, they actually had no lusty desires. This is significant of spiritual advancement. Their desires appeared lusty, but actually they were not lusty desires of the material world. Chaitanya Charitamrita compares the desires of the spiritual and material world to gold and iron. Both gold and iron are metal, but there is a vast difference in their value. The lusty desires of the gopis for Krishna are compared to gold, and material lusty desires are compared to iron. Kamsa and other enemies of Krishna merged into the existence of Brahman, but why should Krishna's friends and devotees have the same position? Krishna's devotees attain the association of the Lord as his constant companions, either in Vrindavan or in the Vaikuntha planets. Similarly, although Narada Muni wanders in the three worlds, he has exalted devotion for Narayan, Aishwar Yaman, the Vrishnis and Yadus, and the father and mother of Krishna in Vrindavan all have familial relationships with Krishna. Krishna's foster father and mother in Vrindavan, however, are more exalted than Vasudeva and Devaki. Text number 32. Somehow or other, one must consider the form of Krishna very seriously. Then, one of the five different processes mentioned above. Then, by one of the five different processes mentioned above, one can return home back to Godhead. Atheists, like King Vena, however, being unable to think of Krishna's form in any of these five ways, cannot attain salvation. Therefore, one must somehow think of Krishna, whether in a friendly way or inimically. Purport. Impersonalists and atheists always try to circumvent the form of Krishna. Great politicians and philosophers of the modern age even try to banish Krishna from Bhagavad Gita. Consequently, for them, there is no salvation. But Krishna's enemies think, here is Krishna, my enemy. I have to kill him. They think of Krishna in his actual form, and thus they attain salvation. Devotees, therefore, who constantly think of Krishna's form are certainly liberated. The only business of the Mayavadi atheist is to make Krishna formless. And consequently, because of this severe offense at the lotus feet of Krishna, they cannot expect salvation. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says in this connection, Tena Shishupalari Bina Pratikula Bhavan Bhavam Dittishur Yena Iva Narakam Yatiti Bhavaha. Except for Shishupal, those who go against the regulative principles cannot attain salvation and are surely destined for hellish life. The regulative principle is that one must always think of Krishna, whether as a friend or an enemy. Text 33. Narada Muni continued, O best of the Pandavas, your two cousins, Shishupal and Dantavakra, the sons of your maternal aunt, were formerly associates of Lord Vishnu, but because they were cursed by Brahmanas, they fell from Vaikuntha to this material world. Purport, Shishupal and Dantavakra were not ordinary demons, but were formerly personal associates of Lord Vishnu. They apparently fell to this material world, but actually they came to assist the Supreme Personality of Godhead by nourishing his pastimes within this world. Maharaj Yudhisthira inquired, what kind of great curse could affect even liberated Vishnu Bhaktas, and what sort of person could curse even the Lord's associates? For unflinching devotees of the Lord to fall again to this material world is impossible. They cannot believe this. Purport, in the Bhagavad Gita 8.16, the Lord clearly says, Mam upetya tu kaunteya punar janma navidyate. One who is purified of material contamination and returns home back to Godhead does not return to this material world. Elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita 4.9, Krishna says, Janma karma cha me divyam. Evam yo veti tatvata tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mam eti sorjuna. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, Arjuna. Maharaj Yudhisthira, therefore, was surprised that a pure devotee could return to this material world. This is certainly a very important question. 35. The bodies of the inhabitants of Vaikuntha are completely spiritual, having nothing to do with the material body, senses, or life air. Therefore, kindly explain how associates of the personality of Godhead were cursed to descend in material bodies like ordinary persons. Purport, this very significant question would be difficult for an ordinary person to answer, but Narada Muni, being an authority, could answer it. Therefore, Maharaj Yudhisthira inquired from him, saying, Etad, Akyatum arhasi, only you can explain the reason. From authoritative sources, it can be discerned that associates of Lord Vishnu who descend from Vaikuntha do not actually fall. They come with the purpose of fulfilling the desire of the Lord, and their descent to this material world is comparable to that of the Lord. The Lord comes to this material world through the agency of his internal potency, and similarly, when the devotee or associate of the Lord descends to this material world, he does so through the action of the spiritual energy. Any pastime conducted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead is an arrangement by Yogamaya, not Mahamaya. Therefore, it is to be understood that when Jai and Vijay descended to this material world, they came because there was something to be done for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, it is a fact that no one falls from Vaikuntha. Of course, a living entity who desires Sayuja Mukti remains in Krishna's Brahman effulgence, which is dependent on Krishna's body. Brahmanohi pratishtaham. Such an impersonalist who takes shelter of the Brahman effulgence must surely fall down. This is stated in the Shastra 10.2.32 Bhagavatam. Yene ravindaksha vimukta maninas toyastabhavad abhashudha buddhayaha haruya krishena parampadam tataha patantyado nadrita yushmadangrayaha. O Lord, the intelligence of those who think themselves liberated but who have no devotion is impure. Even though they rise to the highest point of liberation by dint of severe penances and austerities, they are sure to fall down again into the material existence, for they do not take shelter at your lotus feet. The impersonalists cannot reach the Vaikuntha planets to become associates of the Lord. and therefore, according to their desires, Krishna gives them Sayuja Mukti. However, since Sayuja Mukti is partial mukti, they must fall again to this material world. When it is said that the individual soul falls from Brahmalok, this applies to the impersonalist. From authoritative sources, it is learned that Jai and Vijay were sent to this material world to fulfill the Lord's desire to fight. The Lord also sometimes wants to fight, but who can fight with the Lord? But a confidential devotee of the Lord, Jai and Vijay descended to this world to fulfill the Lord's desire. Therefore, in each of their three births, first as Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, second as Ravan and Kumbhakarna, and third as Shishupal and Dantavakra, the Lord personally killed them. In other words, these associates of the Lord, Jai and Vijay, descended to the mature world to serve the Lord by fulfilling his desire to fight. Otherwise, as Maharaj Yudhisthira says, Ashradheya Ivavati, the statement that the servant of the Lord could fall from Vaikuntha seems unbelievable. How Jai and Vijay came to this mature world is explained by Narada Muni as follows. And thus ends tonight's reading of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 1, ending at text number 36, TBC, to be continued. And now we'll take approximately one or two questions or comments or reflections, because I have to get off exactly at 8:30, which is in 7 minutes.
Thank you so much, Guru Maharaj, for the wonderful reading. Hare Krishna devotees, if you have any questions or reflections, please press star 6 on your phone and then follow the instructions. We're going to take just the first two. Thank you. So Maharaj, while we are waiting for the queue to build, I just wanted to share that there has been so much emphasis on not blaspheming the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And one thing that struck me was that if a person blasphemes the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then not only does he, you know, bad things happen in various verses they were listing, but then also it said that it also affects the ancestors. And I always thought that, you know, a person can be good and that way they liberate their ancestors and backwards and forward generations. But this was sort of new to me, that by blaspheming the Lord, you also affect your ancestors. So I'll share that with you. And we have a question coming up here.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. Vandit Pranam.
Hare Krishna.
This is Lavanya, Guru Maharaj.
I can tell. Nice to hear your voice. Please tell us something.
Oh, Maharaj, I had a question. I was thinking about the instructions in Ishopanishad, where we are informed that when certain people do, they misguide innocent people in the name of God, then we are informed that they are sent to the nethermost regions from which they can never come back. The text explains that to us. I was thinking about the thought that, are there really certain categories of people who will never receive the Lord's mercy? Or does everybody at some point, receive it? Are there some that will never go back home, back to Godhead?
Not in our philosophy. Everyone has the potential of going back to Godhead. There are other Vaishnava philosophers who say that some souls, forever languish in the material world. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't teach that at all. And okay. Neither did our other acharyas. Everyone has the opportunity.
So when the text says that they are sent to the nethermost regions from which they can never come back, what is the intent of that text when we read that in the Ishopanishad, when they teach about? I think it comes in the Naradhama. I'm not sure exactly.
they have to be seen in context. Just like throughout this chapter so far, Prabhupada is quoted from the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Twamahan Asharan, that it says in that verse that these demoniac people are cast into the lower species of life, basically never to return. And he said several times that that means that they go down for some time and then they get purified and they come back up again, and that that's the mercy of the Lord. So in
how do they
cases
get purified?
Where,
if they go down, where is the opportunity to be purified when they go so far down?
As he said, that they may say, I hate Krishna. So the part of them hating Krishna and the blasphemy of Krishna, that part they go down, and then because they said Krishna, that part goes to their eternal benefit. Sometimes when somebody, you know, like in a small town in the West, we used to have these Westerns on, you know, in the movies. The guy would come to town and he'd get all drunk and start shooting everything up. So they'd put him in jail overnight. And as soon as he sobered up, then they let him out again. So same way the living entity, when he gets out of control in a certain way, he's pushed down into the lower modes of nature where he can't commit any more sinful activities, because there are no sinful activities for these lower living entities. And as soon as he's sobered up a little bit, he comes back up again. He gets another chance to take whatever contact he had previously with the devotees, with the holy name and so forth, there's a credit there he can take up where he left off.
Oh, thank you so much for explaining that.
Yeah, and this sometimes when we talk about, as Prabhupada says in the Krishna book and elsewhere, that when it talks about how the demigods drink amrita to become deathless, that doesn't actually mean that they're deathless. It means that they live for so long that from ordinary vision, it's practically eternal. But, because it's inconceivable how long some of them live. And similarly, when Krishna talks about, and we hear some of these statements from the Upanishads about somebody, you know, eternally going down into the lower regions, it means for so long that practically. And also, of course, you hear that the soul is killed. There's an Atmaha. The person's in the very beginning of the Ishupanishad, it says the Atmaha, the killer of the soul, whoever he may be. So Prabhupada, of course, mentions there that means not that the soul is extinguished or killed or something like that, but it means that they miss such an opportunity for so long because of misbehaving that practically it's like killing the soul. And who knows when they'll get another chance. I mean, the time periods are so vast. But in eternity, what is that anyway?
Yes, yes. Also, that there is the concept of time only applies in the material world. In Krishna's world, there is no time. It's eternal. Thank you so much, Guru Maharaj. That was so nice.
Okay, thank you very much, Lavanya. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. It's 8:30 at this time, so I was thinking maybe we can open it up for Hare Bol.
Okay. Can everyone please, after we get unmuted, can everyone say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Vancha Kalpatrubhasya Kripa Sarvabhasya
Kripa Sarvabhasya Kripa Sarvabhasya Kripa
Sarvabhasya Kripa Sarvabhasya Kripa Sarvabhasya Kripa
Sarvabhasya Kripa Sarvabhasya
Kripa Sarvabhasya Kripa Sarvabhasya Kripa Sarvabhasya Kripa Sarvabhasya Kripa Sarvabhasya Kripa Sarvabhasya Kripa Sarvabhasya Kripa